Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
It is Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and you can come see all of those aforementioned body rolls on ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egwumike, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Jhené, this is becoming an interesting day around here. We're midway through the week right now. We're staring down some pretty impressive games, getting ready to come up in the association tomorrow night. We're starting to get some way too spicy NFL draft takes that we may have to address at some point if people keep wanting to mention Zach Wilson in the same breath as Trevor Lawrence, getting spicy early. But Jhené, it wouldn't be a day that ends in Y around here this offseason if we didn't start off talking about Deshaun Watson and your Houston Texans. It just seems like this is going to keep following us. As soon as you got on ESPN Radio, they knew we had to get some Houston stuff in here.
They know what's up, and I thought you were going to also mention that we've been cheating on each other. You were on Highly Questionable again. Yeah. I was on SportsCenter, so that's in the mix too. But good thing it's mutual, right? We both did it, so we're both good with it.
That is true. We have communicated these things out, and so everyone has an understanding that the main thing is still the main thing. Yep. We can go off and have fun and do all that for a while, knowing we're both coming home right here. So
precisely.
It feels good. Now, the same could not be said about Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, because for anyone that somehow missed this offseason, we know he's trying to do everything he can to get the hell out of here. And this got interesting because we've talked so much about Miami lately. That's kind of been the focus. We heard Denver get whispered about a little bit last week by one of our great insiders in Jeremy Fowler. But David Newton, who covers the Carolina Panthers for us here at ESPN, brought this up when he was on NFL Live. The Carolina Panthers entering the chat, and what kind of price, what kind of haul Deshaun Watson might command if they're going to suddenly enter into this?
Panthers will do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson, and that includes giving up 3 first-round draft picks and Christian McCaffrey. Now, owner David Tepper wants to win a Super Bowl. He's made that clear. He understands it takes a marquee quarterback to do that. Now, if you look at recent history outside of Patrick Mahomes, the quickest way to do that is to trade for a marquee quarterback and not draft one in the first round.
So there's a couple of follow-ups off of this, Jhené, but I ask first and foremost, when you hear 3 first-round draft picks and Christian McCaffrey, a guy you know very well, does that sound like a price big enough for Houston to say yes to?
A guy I know very well, speaking of Christian McCaffrey as I'm wearing my Stanford University sweatshirt, that is a heavy price. That's a really big price. And so I was following, I was going along, and it's like, and Christian McCaffrey was like, oh snap, they're trying to win big and win now. But wouldn't having McCaffrey and Deshaun on the same squad sort of help your winning versus stripping him of a weapon, sort of like we sort of saw with the Houston Texans where they had limited weapons for Deshaun? So I would say, Junior, that I feel like that's a heavy price, but we know that Deshaun is going to command that. And if they feel like the quarterback is more important, especially than the versatile running back, I'm not going to fault them on making a big swing to land him. I just feel like that price, once he said and, I was like, oh, wow, all right, we're really trying to make this happen, huh?
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And that's kind of what we've heard, though, is this idea of if it's not 3 ones and a player of that caliber, it's 2 ones, 2 twos, and 2 defensive players, 2 defensive starters potentially. And that's where this does get interesting, because for a team like Carolina, who much further away from the prize, much further away from where Deshaun Watson wants to be than Miami, the other team mentioned so often in all of this, that you wonder, all right, if Deshaun Watson, which he does have a say in this and that no trade clause, how much is he going to look at that situation and say, huh, am I really willing to go over there and work through some of the growing pains? Because make no mistake, Jhené, if Deshaun Watson were to choose Carolina, it would sort of be like what we see all the time on The Bachelor and on The Bachelorette. Will you marry me? Will you get engaged to me so we can date for a little while and see if we actually want to do this? Like, they would have to kind of go through some of that. And that's where it gets interesting, is if you strip away some of the other teams and Miami and the Jets aren't real in the same ways, is Deshaun Watson desperate enough to leave Houston that he'd say, you know what, if that's my only option, I'm gone. Anything to get out of Houston.
But wouldn't you say, in comparison to Miami, Miami, you know, picture that we just saw all over social media where it's like, oh, look, I've got my former teammate here, check it out. Wouldn't you say Miami has more assets to sort of pull this off potentially versus what we're seeing right now, as you describe with Carolina?
Absolutely. I think Miami, they have the chance to offer Houston, something that no other team does, maybe potentially outside of the Jets, which is a young quarterback on a rookie contract. Now, obviously, Sam Darnold coming to the end of his, Tua Tagovailoa 1 year into that rookie control that's so valuable. But yes, I think Miami's package has a chance to be better, certainly with the quality that they have on defense, players that they could potentially offer, and those picks. Right now, if I had to rank them, it would probably be Miami a very clear and obvious number one.
Yes.
I think based on teams that can offer you this level of haul, it'd be Carolina number two, and the Jets a very distant third.
Yeah, and so if you were the Texans, what would you accept from Carolina?
I would accept that deal. I mean, that sounds great to me, and I understand people are a bit leery of the Christian McCaffrey contract and the amount of money that a running back commands in that spot. I'm not quite full analytics. I embrace a lot about what analytics has brought to football and a lot of the concepts about the role of running in the modern NFL. But I also think at some point you've got to reward the stars that you do have, and Carolina knew we need a bridge program until we get to the quarterback of our dreams. That bridge program wasn't Teddy Bridgewater. It was Christian McCaffrey. Star at the top of his position who were comfortable paying that money because we know it could line up with us getting the star quarterback. Houston's going to be going full rebuild when Deshaun leaves. It is a strip it down to the studs, try and figure it out. And so at the very least, you'd have nice curb appeal, be able to point to and say, we still have one of the premier players in the league, albeit not at a premier position, that you can sell to fans, that you can use as something to get you through while you're building the rest of that thing up.
I love being this person. So if you were Houston and you had Christian McCaffrey involved in this trade, would you say yes?
Honestly, my first thought would be those three ones and trying to push for a premier defensive player, to me, I think would still be more appealing given the value. You've got Derek Brown, who was their first round pick from the other year, Brian Burns out of Florida State from a couple of years ago. But if you were to offer me this, if you're Houston, three first round picks, like you winced when you heard it up there. It's like, man, that's a lot in all of this. But if you're Houston, you're going to be really bad next year. You were really bad this year. And so starting to get some of that capital that can help you build back up. If you're really Cal McNair and saying we're committed to going forward and building this culture and yada, 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 it's a lot easier to sell that level and that mantra to young guys coming in with something to prove than it is to someone like Deshaun who knows better about this organization.
And you bring up the best point with the no trade clause and no Christian McCaffrey. Would Deshaun even want to go? I don't know about that, boss.
That's going to be the really interesting part to me, Janae, is how much that no trade clause looms large over this. Because we already said, I wouldn't want to go to the Jets, even with Robert Saleh. As much as we like him as a coach and feel like that might be a bright future, that's a rebuild on a tough roster. Miami makes an overwhelming amount of sense. They can't offer as much, but the Broncos are closer to being better despite being in a tougher division right now. But I would still look at this and say, based on what we've heard from Deshaun, it feels an awful lot like if it came down to Houston or Carolina, he wouldn't even think about it because you can be bad in a place that you hate and that you feel has done you wrong, or you can go to a place that's got a new owner, that's got a new coach, that's got an offensive coordinator people are really high on right now and feel a lot better about stuff.
But you know what the good news is? We know our uncle, big brother, ESPN NFL analyst on vacation, Dan Orlovsky's got to feel good because when Deshaun pretty much became available and made his intentions known, he's like, 25, 26 teams in the National Football League should be shooting their shot. Well, we saw a half-court heave today, and I love it.
We did. We saw a half-court heave for the ages, and it feels like something that could potentially pay off. I said at the beginning of all this, Janae, that in addition to certainly wanting to see our Uncle Dan very happy and validated in his takes, that the Deshaun Watson Carolina Panthers jersey edit was by far the best one that I saw. And so if you're picking strictly on aesthetics, this might be a good spot.
Oh, dear.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Speaking of half-court heaves, though, we saw LeBron airmail one of those last night. Was it all in preparation for what we're getting ready to see Thursday? And was there subtle shade thrown by LeBron James in the way of the NBA's newest Big Three? We'll get to that next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
10 minutes away from me getting to utter a sentence I never thought I'd get to say. We have really flipped the script in Cleveland, and Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer are going to join us in about 10 minutes as we try and figure out the new home for J.J. Watt in addition to all the Deshaun Watson talk. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Igwumike. But, Chinay, before we get there, we are getting close to it. And now I know it's been exciting. We're getting into basketball season a little bit more. And we talked about the other day the Lakers' upcoming schedule now that Anthony Davis is out. And we know one of the first big matchups, the big tests of that run, comes on Thursday as we get ready to see LeBron James and the Lakers going up against the Nets. And even though they're not whole, this is one of the marquee matchups we'll see at this point of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was on SportsCenter today pretty much highlighting the fact that both the Lakers just won a major game, the Minnesota Timberwolves. They won, and this was their first test outside of Anthony Davis playing. And then the Brooklyn Nets, who did not have Kyrie Irving, did not have Kevin Durant, led by James Harden, took down a Phoenix Suns team that was surging. So both teams are figuring out how to win without star players.
And it was a big-time win for both teams, you're right. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because as we get ready for that, I feel like LeBron James, who is always extremely aware of the conversations that are going on and what might come up here, was getting to something that's a little bit deeper than what was said. This was LeBron James when he was asked about the Nets' big three, and where they rank not just this season, but historically among NBA teams and NBA groups that we've seen come together.
And looking at the collection of talent that the Brooklyn Nets have, is there a team that you can compare it to in league history having that much offensive firepower on the same group?
Have we forgot about Steph and Clay already?
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay. There you go. There you go right there.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chinay, is this shade or is this facts right here? I can't fully decide from LeBron.
Facts only. These are facts. And I know he said it, but he sort of said it sort of like, don't we all know this? Not necessarily like, come on. Like, yeah, I feel like this is facts only. And I broke this down actually again on SportsCenter where, you know, when it comes to big threes, this big three in Brooklyn has commanded a lot of attention, rightfully so. And a lot of people are trying to evaluate where do they stand as big threes. Well, in the big threes, all right, they have the most similar comparison is what LeBron James said to the Warriors, because a lot of their firepower, like
like Clay, that's a great couple name for them. Clef.
That is a great couple name. Like Clay, like Steph and KD, both of them, James Harden, Kyrie, and, everyone else, you know, in that situation, it's crazy because they both do their firepower from the outside, from the perimeter. And so when you look at the offensive landscape of how we compare big threes, it makes a lot of sense. But the difference here is that the Warriors won two championships and they also won based on their defense as well. And the opportunity that this Brooklyn Nets team has, with their rating being 26th in defensive efficiency in the NBA, the opportunity they have is to try to win a championship pretty much on firepower alone. And I think that's what LeBron James knows what he's stepping into. He also knows he's stepping into a team, like I just said, that has found many ways to win. A team that we sort of joked, but it's cool that Kyrie said, hey, yo, you know, James Harden, you're going to play point guard, I'm going to play shooting guard. And what did we see after? We saw a near 30-point triple-double from James Harden. We saw Kyrie drop 40. All right, Brooklyn Nets, down KD, down Kyrie again. James Harden by himself against the Suns. What does he do? He drops 38 points, I think like 11 assists or 11 rebounds, something like that. Almost a triple-double. You know what the Brooklyn Nets did? They hit 23s. They shot 50% from the field. Very much vintage James Harden in Houston type of days. So LeBron James knows who he's going against. He knows that this is probably the most formidable offense that we've seen since the Warriors. And I feel like he just sort of assumed that the rest of us knew that too.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Igwumike. And I'm with you. Now, at their highest level, would you say this Brooklyn Nets offense capable of being a more potent offense? Not team overall. I'm not saying will Brooklyn accomplish more than Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Kevin Durant. But what they offer offensively is this group really gets going. Because right now, smaller sample size, but they're averaging that trio more points per game than that Warriors group did when they were together over the course of a season. Do you think this group can be more potent offensively? Is that fair to say?
Man, this is hard. This is really hard. But what I will say is, obviously, at the end of the day, and this is what we saw, and you pointed this out, Junior, Steph was smart enough to say, KD, you're that guy, right? Mm-hmm. And still now, I think KD is that guy. And when he's healthy, he's sort of, they're trying to manage him in a season that's crazy. I think that this Brooklyn Nets team has enough to basically take on the firepower of what that Warriors team is just because of a different factor, Junior. It's the off the dribble component. Like Klay is great spotting up, right? And he's explosive. Steph off the dribble is amazing. KD is KD. You remove KD from the situation, Steph is up there. But like, you can also say Kyrie, you know, James Harden and KD are all up there. They can not only knock down spot up shots, but they also can create for themselves. And each one of them has a killer instinct. And I feel like James Harden is extremely motivated on top of that because he's the only guy out of those guys that doesn't have a championship. So I feel like it's fair to say that Brooklyn, being able to create for themselves, they're able to rival that Warriors big three, but also in a way that maybe they're mature. And so I sort of see why this is the best offense we've ever seen in the NBA.
And all of that is understandable and makes a very real amount of sense when you break it down and actually compare the parts in this. But you know me, I'm a lot pettier and simpler than that. So I look at this, and what have I always told you about LeBron? He is quick to compliment the people that he does not perceive as threats. It's why he was so complimentary of Steph Curry when he was first making All-Star games. But then once that Warriors team ramped up, all of a sudden it got a little more quiet when he was infringing on his MVPs. LeBron James knows those old Warrior teams cannot hurt him anymore. And if anything, him running into them and their greatness is a testament to LeBron's greatness, because the only thing that could stop him was that Warriors team. He knows this Brooklyn team is still a threat, and so he's going to remind you, no, I already faced the really good team. And did I mention, they've got three of the best players in the NBA over there right now, and I don't even have my AD with me here. So just remember that when everyone winds up the hot take machine on Thursday, that there are three of the best players in the NBA on the Brooklyn Nets, and there is only one 36-year-old LeBron James on this team right now.
And if I take down one of those teams that has those premier talent, then guess what? It strengthens my case for MVP, which I've already declared that I've wanted ever since last year in the bubble.
It's all upside for him at this point.
Smart man. Man, not a businessman. He's a businessman.
It's no coincidence, by the way, that tomorrow is National Wine Day and LeBron is getting ready to have this kind of big moment there. So I just think that's something we need to factor into this. But coming up next, what do we factor into J.J. Watt's offseason plans? What's going to be appealing to him? And why do appealing and Cleveland all of a sudden start appearing together in sentences way more often now? We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor.
Body crazy, workout ready, big drink on deck. Let Body Armor Lite help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Lite is the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle in flavors like berry punch and coconut. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, the White Mamba, Donovan Mitchell, Spida, and Megan Rapinoe, the World Cup champ, use Body Armor Lite to stay hydrated. So why not give it a try? I mean, shoot your shot. From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That is bacommittofit.com. Now, what's good? You get it? With J.J. Watt. What's good? Cleveland Browns in the lead to land his talents. We will check in with the source next, right after this, on Chanae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come watch us on ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Gold Jr., the podcast.
J.J. Watt, he's being released by the Houston Texans.
He's going to have multiple suitors. I'm going to start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, Tennessee Titans, Buffalo Bills. Last one, let's go Baltimore Ravens.
J.J. Watt just tweeted, free agency is wild. And I think I speak for a lot of people when I say, J.J., welcome to dating in your 30s. Chanae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chanae Igwumike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Chanae, that feels pretty accurate right now. I know you are not yet among the...
I was going to say, wouldn't know.
Wouldn't obviously know in that spot. But take it from me, with all the experience of 1 year in my 30s.
Wait, I'm so distracted. Is that shirt from Blank's Creek, our new favorite show?
Yes, it is. I can say.
For he's wearing
anyone,
a shirt?
For anyone watching
ESPN Plus, we're finishing each other's sentences. He's wearing a white tee with black font that says, don't. Just don't.
Shout out to our king, David Rose, from the popular show Bleeps Creek in there. Dan Levy, an absolute legend of the game. And I don't even care if he hasn't been on today. Friend of the program. Open
friend
invite.
Friend of the program. For sure.
Open.
For sure. Yes.
We're going to find a way to make that happen at some point right now. But in the meantime, this NFL offseason, a lot of people are trying to make things happen, including landing the aforementioned J.J. Watt. And for more on how that is going to go, we're delighted to talk to Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Mary Kay, we appreciate the time. I saw your article about J.J. Watt seriously considering the Cleveland Browns, and it mentioned part of it was because the Browns have the things that J.J. wants, and so I'm curious what the things are that he wants and how wild it is to be able to say that Cleveland actually has those in 2021.
Yeah, it is really so incredibly bizarre to think that they pretty much check off all of the boxes that he would have on his list. Now, that doesn't mean that he's the number one team on his list or anything like that. It just means that they have a lot to offer him right now. And that's so great to be able to say that for the Browns fans here in Cleveland that have, you know, suffered so long over this football team. So the things that he wants include, and, you know, kind of in this order a little bit, he wants to win. I mean, he's coming off of a 4-12 season. He wants to win. The Browns made it into the final eight. They plan on really beefing up their defense this year. And the future looks pretty bright for them in that regard. He wants to get paid. Who doesn't want to get paid? The Browns have some cap space. A lot of the other teams on the list, on his radar, do not have money. And if they are going to try to sign him, they're going to have to clear cap space and do some creative financing in order to make it happen. So that is another thing that they have going for them. He wants to go somewhere where they have a good quarterback. Now, I'm sure, in a perfect world, he would probably want to play with, I would guess, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, who wouldn't want that? But Baker Mayfield is turning into an amazing quarterback in his own right. And if you add up all of the other things, it's one thing that goes on the plus side of the ledger. And then supporting cast, he would have an opportunity to play either next to or opposite Myles Garrett. And that would take a lot of attention away from him, give him an opportunity to be freed up to maybe get back to double-digit sacks. I bet that would happen. And just team culture. I mean, believe it or not, the Browns, it's like the Texans are the new Browns. I mean, the Browns used to be dysfunctional. It just used to be sort of toxic. And it's just not that way anymore. Guys love playing for Kevin Stefanski and the amazing staff that he has put together. Guys love being dealt with by GM Andrew Berry. Just a lot of things that would make a free agent want to play here.
The Texans are the new Browns. As a Houstonian myself, life comes at you fast. Mary Kay Cabot joining us, insider and writer for Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer. And she wrote the piece that J.J. Watt is seriously considering the Browns as one of his options because they have what he wants, which is, you know, nice role reversal, as you mentioned there. Now, Mary, can you sort of tell us what a team sort of is going to get that signs J.J. Watt in year 2021?
Well, he was double-teamed more than anyone, more than any other player in 2020, and I think that's very meaningful. That's why I also think that it would behoove him to go somewhere where he can play on a defensive line with other really good defensive linemen so that he doesn't have to take on these double teams anymore at the age of 32. So, I mean, not that he wouldn't take on any. I'm just saying that it would be nice for him to have some of that load spread around a little bit. So, I think that's a very, very important thing. I really think that you will get a double-digit stacker. I think you'll get someone who can pretty much do it all. And I don't think he's that far removed from, he isn't that far removed from 2018 when he was second in the NFL with 16 sacks. He stayed healthy all last year. I think he was one of two players that played 1,000 snaps. And I think that you would be getting an incredible leader. I mean, if you bring this young man under your football team, you are lighting up a city with leadership and with, you know, community service. The fans, any fans will love him wherever he goes. I think he is about to just really enjoy almost a renaissance in his career because he will feel just a whole new fresh batch of love that he hasn't felt yet.
a renaissance in his career, and as you mentioned, a renaissance for Cleveland sports right now, getting to enjoy this kind of positive conversation around their team. Mary Kay, we appreciate the time and the insight. We will talk to you very soon as this carousel in the offseason keeps on spinning.
Sounds good. Anytime.
Chinay Ingold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. What a world, Chinay, where we get to read that off, that the Browns have a great culture, strong supporting cast, and are a team that can contend for a Super Bowl. I'm amazed. As someone with Cleveland roots, I have memories as a kid of my dad introducing himself to other people, and when asked where he's from and saying Cleveland, Ohio, people saying, "I'm sorry." Like, those were things that happened back when it was the mistake by the lake, and now they've come so far, so fast. Well, not so fast. It's actually taken a really long time.
Yeah, it's taken forever, like 20-something years. But it's okay. Better late than never. And how about the bar? The Texans are the new Browns. I was like, whoa. When you say it like that, this is the truth. But Junior, you know, it does make a lot of sense being in an environment where you start getting the sense that the Cleveland Browns right now, they're all like, they're playing like a team, you know? Everyone is, it's no longer like a collection of parts. They're playing like those parts equal a whole, something whole. And so J.J. Watt would be a renaissance out there based on his leadership and his stability. And man, that fearsome tandem between Myles Garrett would be so much fun. But then you have to also think about the Packers and, you know, his roots there. If you're talking about your own roots, like his roots in Wisconsin, that could be another contender. And I mean, how do you think about, like, we have siblings, you know, being in the same division as your siblings. Isn't that crazy too?
Yeah, that's the one part that I have a difficult time reconciling. But I think at this point, they're all pretty well versed in the business of football. They've all, you know, played in the same conference already as far as the AFC and knew that was going to be a possibility. And so I don't know if that'll be as much of a deterrent with both TJ and Derek, who, by the way, little known fact, Derek's middle name does start with a J, so he could be a DJ and chose not to, which is strange to me in a family full of... You don't find that at all compelling that we have got a JJ and a TJ, but the guy in the middle, DJ. I think Derek's a middle child, chose not to go with DJ in that one.
Me, as a middle child myself, we like to be different, and so I will stand by the lack of usage of DJ, even though TJ, JJ, and DJ would have been lit. And shout out to continuity when it comes to parents. Like, I like that.
I'm just saying, consistency being rewarded.
Hey, by the way, did you know
thing.
I used to always call you GJ? And then, like, I switched over to now Junior. I don't know if you know that.
I do remember the GJ days, actually. Golic Jr. in there, which is funny because my grandma is Jan. I call her Grandma Jan, and we call her GJ for short. So it was very jarring for me at first because I thought you were calling me my grandma.
Your grandma.
Or Marcus Spears, MJG.
MJG.
No, I'm not going to save you.
No, I'm not going to save you.
What's up, MG Junior?
What's good at? Go ahead.
No one makes you feel cooler just by addressing you than Marcus Spears. That is an absolute out-and-out fact. Now, another fact we're dealing with is that the Browns might be breaking moves this offseason by trying to acquire J.J. Watt.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
And while we're on the subject of speaking up and speaking out about things that people might not necessarily find great, coming up next... What if I told you that Tom Brady in 2021 would actually be the poster child for making a point that the 2017 Eagles tried to make that we all shouted down? We'll get to that next. Chinay Ingold Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ingold Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Igwumike. And before we get to some coach speak, that we're going to try and parse through right now, trying to make sense of Bruce Arians being vocal yet again about what him and Tom Brady were able to pull off this year. Chinay, how does this sound as a vote of confidence from one organization to its quarterback? We talked about J.J. Watt maybe wanting to play with his brothers in Pittsburgh for the Steelers. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert came out when asked about Ben Roethlisberger today and said, as we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He reiterated to us that he wants to continue to play, and we told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustments will have to be made. Chinay, considering we already heard that Ben Roethlisberger is willing to take a pay cut, this does not seem like the greatest sign for his future that the organization is still like, yeah, we got to look at some things.
So when someone in a high position comes out and says, hey, and this is someone that you like appreciates your talents, says you are a member of the team, not a Super Bowl champ, like the leader, the offense, hell, even the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? You literally got me when he said he is a member. I was like, dang, wow. All right. I got everything that I needed to hear.
It's just amazing hearing them continue to double down. Kevin Colbert, the Steelers GM, Ben Roethlisberger is on the team. Ben Roethlisberger did a lot of really good things last year. We anticipate that he could still do some good things going forward. Like, my God, this is so mean.
So mean. Oh, man. Oh. But, like, more power to Ben. Ben doing whatever necessary to live out his dreams, even, you know, as they seem to be sending mixed messages to the rest of us.
We'll see how those dreams continue to look in Pittsburgh right now. But let's focus on a place that's a little more sunshine and rainbows right now, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the Super Bowl champions. And Bruce Arians has been very vocal during the season, first in criticizing his players, and then in criticizing seemingly where they came from and how they did business there. And so to help us sort that out, we want to do a little bit of coach speak here.
What some people say ain't always what they mean.
We all have a job to do. We're going to have to count on everybody to do their job.
Consider this a translation.
I think we're working at it, and we'll see where we're at on Sunday.
Coach speak with Janae and Golic Jr.
So this is where it gets fun, Janae, because Bruce Arians is very aware of all the talking that we have all done. Bruce Arians talked about in a recent interview on Showtime's Inside the NFL, talked about why he thinks Brady left the Patriots. And in his opinion, it being about Brady's desire to not just win, but prove to himself some things. This is the quote. Quote, I think Brady's competitive spirit is so strong that he wanted to do it. He wanted to show people. I've never said anything bad about Bill Belichick. I know everybody tries to say I do. His record speaks for itself. He is probably the greatest one ever, but I think Brady wanted to try a different way. Janae, I don't know about you. That sounds like it's a bit of a shot at not only Bill Belichick, but just the Patriot way in general.
Okay. He said the word way, so now I'm connecting the dots between that and Patriot way. But tell me how that sounds like a shot instead of a fact.
Well, you know what? All right, so explain what you mean there then. What is this a fact in that sense?
That Tom Brady realized that the Patriots were likely to move in a different direction, and he wanted to continue his career, so he left for a different team, a team where he could sort of dictate a little bit more versus the situation he was dealing with, you know, in New England. So it's true. Like, you know, he went a different path. He went a different way, and that way delivered a Super Bowl. So tell me, Junior, how is that shady?
Well, the only reason that seems to register with me is because you remember a few years ago, it seems like forever ago, when the Philadelphia Eagles were winning the Super Bowl back in 2016, 2017, and we heard from everyone up and down on that team, Lane Johnson and company, after they won that Super Bowl, this idea that, and I think it was, I don't want to misattribute this, so I will say an Eagle, one of the Eagles on that team, mentioned that winning one Super Bowl the way that they did, the amount of fun that they were able to have in that process, being free spirits the way that that team was. You remember they had the underdog masks, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Winning one that way was more enjoyable than winning multiple the way they have seen done in New England, where we hear it's just a different way, a stricter way of doing things out there. This would seem to echo that point, because a lot of people shouted them down and say, how would you turn down that many championships and being able to have that on your resume? Well, if you have the guy that was at the center of that in Tom Brady all of a sudden coming down here to, in theory, show you that, yeah, it doesn't always have to be 10-2 when you're driving white knuckle down the road to the Super Bowl, that seems kind of shady, a little bit shady.
So this is funny, because this kind of strikes home. All right. So I'm sitting here. If you're watching us on ESPN Plus, your girl's wearing a Stanford sweatshirt. And at Stanford, I chose not to go to UConn. Yes, you heard that straight, Connecticut, which is, you know, the home of ESPN. I chose not to go to UConn. I also chose not to go to Notre Dame. You're up next, Mike Golic Jr. But I went to Stanford, and a lot of people would say, like, at Stanford, what are you going to get out there? Besides an education that's top class. You know, the program just sort of, you know, is extremely focused, regimented, disciplined, and, you know, star players don't really make that much noise where you could see a lot of star players. You had Skylar Diggins, you had Breonna Stewart, and all those number of players coming out of those programs. And I'll just end with this. Coach Tarr said, winning is fun. And a lot of times that when you're a college kid, it's hard to process that, but winning is fun. And I feel like you can't knock New England for winning, and that was fun because you at least were a winner when you're done versus not being one, or at least being one just once.
I think that's entirely accurate. And I think knowing what's come along with that, New England helped make the Tom Brady folklore that we have now. But I think this is a reminder of something I've always gone back to. There are a lot of ways to win. You may not get there as frequently and as consistently if you're not driving with hands at 10-2 on the wheel. But we've seen Seattle do it. We've seen that Eagles team do it. And this Tampa Bay team seems to want to put themselves in that latter camp. Coming up next, as we take a look at the NBA, what has this season looked like from the outside looking in, from someone who wants to be back inside? We'll get to that next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.